Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness, produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. You know where your sheets and towels have been, inside your home, on your bed, or in your bathroom. And you know they're clean because you probably do your own laundry. But when you sleep in a bed or shower in a bathroom that's not your own, namely in the hospitality and healthcare industries, you're using linens that hundreds of people have used before you. Those sheets and towels have come in contact with bodily fluids, chemicals, and bacteria. So, how do you know they're clean, safe, and hygienic?
What are the standards for commercial linens that are washed and dried? What does an industrial laundry do to ensure the safety of these linens? And what can you catch from improperly handled sheets and towels? Joining us is one of the world's top experts on germs. Dr. Philip Tierno is an internationally known microbiologist with more than 35 years of experience in the fields of clinical and medical microbiology. He's clinical professor in the departments of microbiology and pathology at the NYU School of Medicine. Dr. Tierno is the author of The Secret Life of Germs, Observations and Lessons from a Microbe Hunter.
Welcome to Take Care, Dr. Tierno. Thank you so much for talking to us about this topic. Some people are grossed out by it. Others are fascinated.
Yes, I'm happy to be here.
All right. Before we even get to the process of cleaning and how it's different, institutional laundering versus residential laundering, let's talk first about the dangers that are posed to our health when we're exposed to sheets or towels that were not properly cleaned. In, let's say, a hospital setting or a hotel setting, are there diseases that can be transmitted?
Well, it depends on where. If you're talking a hospital, of course, there are many super bugs that are present. In other words, multi-drug resistant bugs that dwell in hospital environments. So it's imperative that the linens are clean. And in fact, they usually are. From any institution, you can be assured that there is a change of bedding that occurs with each individual patient change. In other words, they would not only take care of the linens, they would actually sanitize the beds themselves so as to cut down on nosocomial transfer of germs.
So when you say sanitize the bed, we're curious about what products are used, and because it's so important and you have super bugs that are dwelling and people with possibly compromised immune systems, how do they ensure those linens will not go back on a bed with any of the things we're talking about? Is it hotter water or chemicals that are used?
Well, first off, it depends on the institution you're talking about. If you're talking about a private hospital or you're talking about a small private hospital, a big hospital, a medical center. Some institutions, if they're boutique, they may send out to launder various types of linens. But generally speaking, they are subject to a great deal of heat and they are subject to chlorination. Especially when you're dealing in a hospital with Clostridium difficile, that organism is not easily killed and is not killed with soap and water. You need an active ingredient like bleach to sanitize those linens. So most institutions are using bedding that has to be cleaned with bleach as well as a surfactant and the use of hot water.
Now, when you say hot water, is there actually a standard, a temperature set at which something has to be washed for a certain period of time at a certain temperature?
Well, technically speaking, pasteurization occurs at 160 degrees, 165 degrees. That would kill most ordinary germs. In addition, you'd have to add a bleach to take care of spore formers like Clostridium difficile. So in a hospital, you're more assured of a process being used that will effectively disinfect the linens so that they're used in between patients, new linens are used. Whereas in a hotel, you have to be subject to the vagaries of the institutional policies. And I'm sure that many of those hotels, if not all, do prescribe to or subscribe to use of bleach and hot water as well as a surfactant.
We do want to talk about hotels, and this question we can handle both hotels and hospital settings. Is there a national organization that sets the standards, and is there oversight similar to dietary restrictions you often read in the paper about certain restaurants that failed when people have shown up unannounced, taking temperatures of things stored? Do they have something similar with a hospital, for instance? Are there surprise
inspections? Yeah, like of a health department.
I'm not sure of that. I know in hospitals, obviously, there are. But in hotels and motels, I don't know if there are annual inspections or quarterly or any inspections. You know, I'm not aware of that. But I would say that there are standards that are set. The big problem is not the technique that is used. You have to make sure that there is a change of sheets occurring between hotel guests. That's more a likelihood that one should worry about than whether the sanitizing process is good enough.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
And I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And we're talking today about hospital hotel linen hygiene with Dr. Philip Tierno. Dr. Tierno is an internationally known microbiologist with more than 35 years of experience in the field of clinical and medical microbiology, and he's the author of The Secret Life of Germs, Observations and Lessons from Microbe Hunter. Dr. Tierno, you said that the concern that we need to have is to make sure that those sheets are indeed changed. In a hospital, one has to absolutely believe this happens. I mean, because you're taking risks with patients' lives. But anecdotal evidence indicates, and there have been a few articles, if you Google it, you know, online, that there have been housekeeping staff who will smooth down the sheets and remake a bed and not change it in between guests. What are the perils involved in that, aside from our own squeamishness?
Well, aside from that and disgust, there is the possibility of transferring microorganisms, germs like Staph aureus, especially the MRSA types, many of the flesh-eating organisms like beta hemolytic streptococcus, group A, and there are other transfers that can be made. Norovirus, for example, that's the stomach flu virus that can be transferred by people who reside in the bedding and shed some of these organisms in the sheets. That's why it's imperative to examine the sheets in a hotel. I know I take down the outer cover and put it aside for my stay in a hotel. I examine for bed bugs along the ribbing of the mattress, looking for any kind of stains or any kind of casings that may represent bed bugs. I also look at the sheets, and sight is very important as well as smell. It's important. The odor should be fresh and clean, and you should not see any stains. Of course, what is used, generally speaking, to examine for organics like semen or urine or other materials from the body is a UV light. If you put a UV light on an organic, it will glow, and that's how you can tell whether there's urine or semen or other products from people on the sheet. But not everybody's going to be carrying that, so you're going to have to use your senses. And if you see hair or you see any other debris that might be there that should not be there, and if it doesn't smell clean or look clean, it likely is not clean. So you have to use some common sense.
I was shocked recently on a trip to Florida to find a little printed card with the two glasses next to the ice bucket that read, "These glasses have been cleaned in the room by the housekeeper using products on the cart," basically, not in accordance with the law of sanitation. And I wish I took a picture with my cell phone, but of course after that I used a paper cup. But what germs, we're talking about bedding, and I was just shocked to read that they actually put a disclaimer. And again, as Linda mentioned, when you're doing research on the topic, there are a lot of horror stories of the house cleaner using the wet towel to just wipe the glasses out for the next person. And as you mentioned, there could be things lingering in that wet towel.
Yes. Worse than that are actually footage. I did some exposés in hotels, in my career many times, investigative reports. There has even been footage, film, taken with cameras that were placed in hotels just to examine how housekeeping takes care of things. And we had, in one case, a individual housekeeper, she was wiping the bowl, the toilet bowl, and the seat and the cover and on the side, and with the same rag, she cleaned the glass. So I never really use the glasses from a hotel. If they have plastic glasses encased in plastic, I use it where you have to open the plastic to know it. But I generally bring my own cups, the disposable cups when I go to a hotel. I don't trust those things in the bathroom. They're not a good idea to drink from such vessels.
Well, we've talked about we've talked about institutional laundering for, the hotels and the hospitals, but we just want to ask for so many of our listeners what your recommendations are just in our own homes. How often should you use a bath towel before it needs to be laundered for good hygiene?
Well, when you understand that we desquamate, in other words, we shed from our body body cells, epithelial cells, dead cells that serve as foodstuff for microorganisms, and also, by the way, that would serve as foodstuff for dust mites, that collect in the towel as you wipe your body down. And, of course, there are organisms that are from your body that are in those cells that are brought into the towel itself. Leaving it in a damp environment, if you fold the towel, you maintain the dampness, you can have growth of those organisms. The idea is to open it up, the towel, so that it air dries. Desiccation is one of the ways to kill organisms, or at least reduce the population. The idea is, if you use the towel yourself, your towel, less of a problem. If other people use your towel, also to dry off, then it becomes a problem with the possible transfer of organisms from one individual to another. I would say that 3 days really is pushing it if you air dry your towel and not in a damp place. You know, there are various types of racks that are heated that the towel can be placed on. Not everybody, of course, has access to that, but it makes it easier to assure desiccation and dryness. But they should be used by one person if you use it multiple times. Generally speaking, 3 days is sufficient. Then you should send it in for a wash, because by then counts go up.
And it sounds like bleach is something that we should all be using in our own residential laundry.
Without question, bleach is useful. It actually destroys the anthrax bacillus. During the post 9/11 anthrax attacks on the city, one of the things that were used to sanitize things or to disinfect things was bleach. There was a scare. We didn't know where, the next shoe would drop, and it turned out that there were many scares, but they were taken care of with the use of bleach. In fact, the Army bioterror units use bleach concentrated right from the container to because bleach inactivates not only bacteria and viruses, but also toxins. So the use of bleach is very prominent in the control of microorganisms. Certainly there are some people that say chlorine, you got problems with chlorine. But in reality, chlorine becomes a salt when it's mixed with things in the environment, so it's more natural than people think it is. Of course, in a concentrated form, you don't want too much exposure. But in a dilute form, 1 in 10, that's what householders should use. One part bleach, 9 parts water, that's a 1 to 10 solution of bleach, is excellent for sanitizing bathtubs, bathrooms, surfaces, kitchens, sinks, etc.
And there you have it, straight talk from the man many call Dr. Germ. Dr. Philip Tierno is an internationally known microbiologist with more than 35 years of experience in the field of clinical and medical microbiology. He's clinical professor in the departments of microbiology and pathology at the NYU School of Medicine. And Dr. Tierno is also the author of The Secret Life of Germs, Observations and Lessons from a Microbe Hunter. Dr. Tierno, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Good luck.